is where we find the problem most of the time, is that we don't want to be the sheep because we don't want to be led. Amen. And since we don't want to be led, sometime he has to drive us. Sometime he has to crack the whip behind us. The other day, my horse got out, and I went, and I was mad. I was thinking about some, I was like getting rid of that joker, and I was trying to catch him, her. She was running, and then so I decided, I said, I'm going to take this whip because I ain't going to be running. My knee going to start swelling. And so I took the whip, got in the car, and I went down the street, and I cracked the whip. She looked. She took off running all the way back to the house. And sometimes that's how we are with God. We don't want to be led. We want to get out. We get loose. And then we have to have the whip cracked so we can go back to the place where we belong. Oh, come on and say amen in here. We got to stop getting drove to where we need to be and be led to where we need to be. Come here. Some of us are like Jonah. Instead of us doing what God wants, we want to try to rebel. You can't fight God. Your arms are too short. I wish I had somebody. And Jonah got into a place where he had to be thrown into the sea, into a belly of a great fish. And, you know, he didn't have to go through all that, but he went through it because of his choice. And sometimes we go through a whole bunch of stuff because of our choices. But do you know that even though we make bad choices, God has a way of preparing a fish for us to get us to where we need to be to do the things that we are supposed to do? Maybe you didn't want to do it 10 years ago. Now you find yourself in the very same place you said that you wasn't going to be. Do I have any witnesses in the house? And since God does it like that, I don't know how God gonna work in your life. I don't know how God, but I love the way God does what he do. Because if you look at it and the whole time you start to go back and look back at what God has done, how you were here but now you are there, and when you start thinking about it, you say, you know what, I don't know how God is going to work this thing out, but I'm confident because he did it before that he can do it again. And that ought to bring a confidence in you to say that I'm not casting off my confidence, but I'm trusting in the Lord with all my heart, and I'm not going to lean.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministry. Living Word Ministries in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn them to St. Matthew's chapter 12. I want to commence reading at verse 25. And the word says, "And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you.
Yeah.
Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad.
Yeah.
May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy and divine word. At our 7 o'clock service, this message was broken into three parts, and the first message this morning dealt with check your house.
Yeah.
And it dealt with the principle of our text that had three parts. It talked about the regulated truth. That's the truth that is controlled and adjusted by rule or law, meaning it was the word of Lord.
Yeah.
Then it was the relevant truth, which had to do with the fact that it talked about this truth is relevant now.
Yeah.
Though it was spoken in Jesus's day, the reality is that it is relevant today.
Yeah.
And then we talked about resolute truth, which is having a decided purpose. God, through Jesus, made clear that this principle was operative regardless of who practiced it. He made it clear that whether it's talking about a kingdom, or whether it was talking about a city, or whether it was talking about a household, if the principle was practiced, it would receive the same profit. It was a principle operational in any arena, transformed any time, and was beyond any particular people, principle in place. But then at 8:30, I didn't get a chance to talk about what I wanted to talk about because the Holy Ghost took over. But I was going to talk about check your heart, because it was the heart out of which the problem derived.
Yeah.
What was the problem? And I wanted to talk about three things in the problem of the text. One was the role. The reason why we have division in a kingdom or in a city or in a house or any organization is when people do not know their roles. And the problem with not knowing your role is a dangerous thing to the organization as a whole, because the Bible in other references talk about everything having its purse, its place, and its function and its role. Paul talks about the body when he was talking about the Holy Ghost and the things of God in the church. He talks about the eye can't say to the ear, because I'm not the ear, you know, I won't function. Everything in the body has a place. It has a role to play. And when it does not function, then it keeps the entire whole from being whole. But then we want to talk about deciding to deal with your responsibility, because not only if you have a role, must you be responsible to function in your role, because that is, again, the dependence upon the whole operation flowing as it ought to when everybody, one, knows his or her role, and two, operates in his or her role. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about was respect, because the problem was that people, again, not either knowing or functioning in their role, didn't have respect for others in their role.
Yes,
and I don't care who you are, my brothers or sisters, whether it's a role above you or a role beneath you, if you don't respect the role of another, you obviously don't respect your own role.
Yes,
and so that was to check the heart. We had check the house, check the heart, but this message in the third part deals with check your hand.
days, because he's talking about laboring now and laboring with him. And I want us to see this, because the principle is still at play, and the problem, if it persists or if it exists, will bring forth the principle that a house divided against itself shall not stand. Let me say a word first of all about division. All division isn't bad.
Amen. Yeah.
Some of you all missed that. I said all division isn't bad.
Right.
The only time division is bad is when the dividing purpose and the dividing function is not that was originally designed. In other words, when folk do what is not written or is not designed or is not planned against the whole schematic plan, then that division is a bad division. But then there is a division that can cause multiplication. And you've got to understand the difference between the two. And I'm going to go into the text and show you that in today's message, where we deal with the promise now, and we're to check our hands, because God has made us a promise, and it is called, according to the anti-metro law, which means if you do it right, you have a response that will be rewarded, but if you do it wrong, you'll have a response that will be dealt with in a way of dealing with your situation or correction. Now look at the text again, because I want you to see that for those of you who do not know this text today. First of all, Jesus has gone to ministering at another level, and he's trying to keep his identity disclosed at this point, because he's not ready yet to move to the final phase of his ministry. So he's moving and ministering. He's healing and casting out demons. And he happens to go one day and pass through a field, and the word says that his men pick some corn and they eat, and the Pharisees are watching him, and they become disturbed at the fact that they called his disciples working on the Sabbath day. Jesus said, well, I know you all know the word. Have you not read what David did? When David and his men were hungry, they weren't out in the field picking corn. They came in the temple and ate the showbread. The showbread was placed in the temple, but that was only for the priest after it had served its period of sanctification and ceremonial rites. And then afterwards, the priest would take the bread and eat it, but it was only for the priest. When David came in the temple, he was hungry, his men were hungry. He took the bread, he ate it, and gave it to his men. Now, Jesus said, now, if you whining and crying about my men picking corn out in the field, let me make one thing clear. I'm greater than the temple. You crying about the stuff in the temple, I'm greater than the temple. And oh yeah, let me add this into here also. I'm also Lord of the Sabbath. So if you don't get it when I tell you I'm greater than all the stuff that's here, and then let me make it clearer and make the picture better focused. I am Lord over everything, the day and the temple and all work done in the day. Well, that wasn't good enough. He goes, and then he goes into their house, the synagogue, the church. And then he finds there's a man there who has a withered hand. And they bring him to Jesus, and the Pharisees wants to know, listen, Lord, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Jesus said, let me ask you a question. He said, which one of you have a sheep that falls into a ditch, a pit, a hole, will wait till the next day to get him out? Or will you immediately start working to get that sheep out of that pit now? And Jesus answered the question, but he answered it in an indirect way. He took what was personal to the man and made it personal to them. And then he told the man, simply saying, stretch forth your hand, and the withered hand became whole just like the other hand. Now, what Jesus was telling them was this. If you had a sheep that fell into a hole and his life was worth that much to you, he says, how much more is a man's life? Well, let me help you understand. That man is my sheep. And he's been hurting and in pain long enough, and it don't make no sense for me to wait another day to heal him when I can very well heal him today. Jesus said, it's always good and lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or any other day. Now, they were trying to get him into a place where the law took precedence over the Lord. But he was putting the law in its place, because he was the fulfillment of the law. All of this he did and said, they still didn't grasp. Bible keeps on reading, going to the 14th chapter. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him how they might destroy him. Now, why would they want to destroy he who heals and ministers and helps? Because it goes against the program that they've designed that had not God's intention included. Look at what says verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, listen at this. He withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Now, Jesus knew their thoughts beforehand. He knew their thoughts at this time. He moves himself from them because he says he's got too much work to do. As he's moving and ministering, yet the multitudes follow him. And when they follow him because they could not get a healing in the church.
Amen.
So when the healer left the church, so did the folk who needed a healing.
That's right.
Y'all gonna catch that on your way home. And on his way, the Bible said, and he healed them who?
All.
Why? Because he said, listen, and look, you got to see the picture. Here's a man with a withered hand. The Pharisees said, is it lawful for you to heal this man on the Sabbath? This man's hand has been withered and messed up. Now Jesus heals his hand. Now they're listening, they're looking, they're observing. They see the unrest because Jesus healed one man. And when Jesus knew their thoughts that they were trying to destroy him, Jesus said, let me get out of this place. When Jesus said, let me get out of this place, everybody else who was sick said, me too.
Yes, sir.
When they walked out of the place and got next to Jesus, what did Jesus do? Jesus said, you need a healing. He healed them. You need a healing. He healed them. Everybody that needed a healing got a healing immediately.
That's right.
Now, what is the point of all of this? I'm glad you asked, because when we come to the text, verse 22 says, then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil. Blind and dumb. He could not speak. And what happened?
He healed him.
Insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. Verse 23, and all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 24, but when the Pharisees heard it, they didn't see it. They said, he's still doing it. When they heard it, look at what the Bible says. They said, this fella doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Now, Jesus, he knows them. He knows where they are spiritually. Listen at the Bible. Verse 25 says, and Jesus knew their thoughts. Here again, it's revealed. He knew their thoughts. You can't think a thought he does not know. He doesn't have to react. He knows your thought before the thought ever became a thought.
Amen.
So listen at this. He's proactive, but listen to what the Bible says. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation or ruin. And every city or house divided against itself, now here's what I need you to focus on, shall, that's a certainty, that's an absolute, that's also a promise, shall not stand. Now notice what he says now, because he says, and if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? Jesus says, you know what? You're bent on trying to destroy me to the point that you don't even make sense to yourself. Now, if Satan is going to show himself as being this great and evil person, and then he cast himself out, then what sense did it make for him to overtake the situation in the first place?
Amen.
What he's trying to tell them is, wait a minute, you got your focus wrong here. Verse 27 says, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. Now, you've got to know that there were a certain group of men in that Eastern culture who were known for being exorcists. They were doing exorcisms on people who were possessed with demonic spirits. And notice this now, Jesus throws the light back on his children or their children or those who function under their law. Now, this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, if you're trying to tell me that I'm casting out devils by the power of Beelzebub, then the question is, by what power and authority are your exorcists casting out their demons? Now notice what he said, they shall be your judges. In other words, what you're saying is, if I'm doing it by the power of the prince called Beelzebub, the prince of devils, then you're saying that your own exorcists are casting them out by the same power. Now when it says they're going to be your judges, then they're going to take issue with this, because they have gone to God to ask God to cast out the devil. Now you're saying it wasn't God that cast out the devil, but it was the devil casting out the devil. And I think your children are going to have some issues with that. Now listen at this now. He says, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Now this is so important, because this is what they didn't understand. That the kingdom of God had come to them through Jesus Christ. He offered them the kingdom of God. He brought to them the truth. He gave to them deliverance, and he was going to set them free from all spiritual sins and shortcomings and everything that caused them to fall short of the glory of God. So when he looked at them and looked through them and brought to them the revelation that the only way that I can do what I'm doing is by the Spirit and the power of God, then you need to know the kingdom that you've been looking for is looking at you. You've been looking for the Messiah, you've been looking for the Savior, but you're looking at him through me in the power that I demonstrate by casting out the power of Satan and all of his evil works. And notice what he goes on to say in verse 29. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he bind the strong man? And then he will spoil his house. Now look at the principle Jesus brings in now. He's saying, wait a minute, I need you to see this. The only way that I could cast out Satan is if I were stronger than Satan. Because I can't cast out someone who's stronger than me. Now get the point and get the focus now. Because what he was telling him was, me and Satan ain't got nothing going on. We aren't sharing any power and no fame. I don't like him, and he don't like me. And when I go into a situation that he has occupied through his power and his authority, I first, listen at this, go in and destroy him or the representative of him. I go in and I bind the strong spirit that has that person tied and bound up. And when I destroy that spirit or cast out that spirit, listen at this, I then am able then to loose the effects of that spirit. Listen, you know what the spirit was in this man that he cast out? The Bible says, look again, I want you to see it right in the text. The Bible says that they brought unto him a man who was blind and dumb. Now what happened was, the spirit got in that man, and from underneath the skin he shut his vision off and held it. And even there he got another hand and reached from behind his vocal cords and held his vocal cords so he couldn't see. Nor could he speak. And Jesus looked and saw that man's problem is a demon is holding his vision and holding his voice. Now if I enter into him by my power and get the demon out, the demon has got to let go to eyes, which means they'll be able to see, and let go to vocal cords, which means he'll, y'all ain't getting this, are you? If you get the strong man, the spirit, if you bind that is doing the job, then the effects of the job will be released. Somebody break into a strong man house in the natural. That's why strong men, real men, don't send their wives to the door late at night. Y'all catch that on your way home. Because when a strange knock comes in the late night hours, that's not the time for the woman to get up and go answer the door. He might be calling up hog heaven, but she need to wake him up. Baby, somebody at the door. Y'all ain't hearing me here. Because as the strong man, he needs to go find out, why is the knock on my door at an ungodly hour? And then handle the situation, because if he handles the situation right, he can keep destruction from coming to his house. And so when Jesus said this, I'm stronger than Satan. And when I go in, I bind him up and I loose all of the things that he has brought under captivity and set it free, because I'm stronger than him.
Yeah.
Now listen at this. He says, he that is not with me is against me.
Yeah. All right, God. All right.
Now you say, I want you to know there ain't no two sides. Satan and I are on different sides. We aren't on the same team. There is an obvious goal for me, and there is an obvious goal for him.
That's right.
And we are opposers one to the other. So he says, if you're not on my team, then it ain't but one other team you can be on. Are y'all not hearing me yet? And he says, that's Satan's team. It's understood. It's an implied reality. If you're not on my team, then anything and anybody else is against this. If you are not trying to build the kingdom up, then you're tearing it down. If you're not trying to save folk, then you're glad and you're not even worried about them being lost. Listen to what he going on to say, because I need you to see this. And he that gathereth not with me, all this is laboring now, scattereth abroad.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
So listen at this, because every believer's responsibility is to help lift Jesus. And if we lift Jesus, the Bible says he'll do the drawing, but it's a collective effort. It is a collaboration between us and our Christ that we do our part, and our part is to lift him up.
Amen.
And when we lift him up, he says, I will draw all men unto me. So if you're not on my team of lifting me up, then you're on the other team of trying to put me down. Listen, because I want you to see this. He says, if you're not gathering with me, then you're scattering abroad. And Jesus is talking about gathering his sheep, the lost sheep of Israel, and then extending it to the Gentile world. And he's saying, listen, my mission here, my purpose, I came to seek and to save that which were lost. So if you are not about my mission of gathering, bringing in, taking in, removing from the devil that which he has stolen, if you are not about gathering, then you're on the other side of trying to spread abroad.
Yes, sir.
It's simple. Check your hands. Are you a gatherer or are you a spreader? You see, my brothers and sisters, you'll be careful to understand that everything you say or do either works toward gathering folk into the kingdom. Let me help you. The gospel gathers. The gossip spreads. Look at your hands. Pulling folk toward Jesus, because he says, compel men to come. Don't be passive in sharing Jesus. No, look, time is running out. It's getting late in the evening. Jesus is on his way back. You've got to be bold enough to declare whose side you're on and declare what God has said in you, to you, through you, so that you might let whosoever know that you're a child of the Most High King, and your job and responsibility to let them know that he is Lord. Now the question is he Lord over and in their lives? See, if you're not talking about Jesus, then you're talking against him when it comes to kingdom business, because everybody that's been set aside for his glory is all about him. We ain't got no time. That's our problem right now. We spend too much valuable time that we will never ever get back again talking about stuff that just don't matter. Wasting our time when we ought to be ministering with a message. We are ministering in mess. Check your hands. What kind of work are your hands doing? It's not a deep and profound message. It's a very simple one. Jesus has made it so clear the fool could not err. Jesus has made it so clear that a baby, a child, can comprehend the fact where Jesus has made it clear, you are on my side or you are against me. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. There ain't no purgatory, ain't no place in between, ain't no second chance after you die. When you die, your decision is already final. What God wants you to understand is, if you are not a gatherer of his lost sheep, and that is what he is desiring, that we would help him to gather those lost sheep of Israel.